grateful believer, alcoholic, Jack. Sometimes I have to say that to myself just to know where the heck I am or who I am. Well, we're going to continue on in our teaching series tonight. We've been camping out in Principle 4 for quite a few lessons. In fact, let me just kind of take us back. And so if you're new here tonight, every other week at Celebrate Recovery, there's a teaching, there's a core curriculum that makes up this ministry. 26 lessons, and then on the weeks that we don't have a teaching, we have a testimony. So we had a testimony last week, and we'll just kind of keep rolling with that teaching testimony and occasionally slip in a kind of a special guest speaker or something like that. But for most nights you go to a CR, you're going to see a testimony or a teaching. And as we started this journey back in the fall, we started with recovery principle 1 and 2 and 3, and now we're up to 4. And we look at, in fact, it's interesting, I was looking at in principle 1, 2, and 3, we have two lessons that correspond with each of those. So in principle 1, we realize we're not God, that we're powerless to control the tendency we might have to do the wrong thing, whatever that is. And so our lessons were denial and powerless. And we had to get out of denial to start this recovery journey. We have to get into reality. And we're going to be talking about that even tonight in tonight's lesson. And then we have to kind of get to the point where we realize how little we really control, and that powerless is not what the world likes to tell us, where we're weak and we're a doormat and we don't have any say in anything. No, powerless is we turn that life, we begin looking to the one who can fix us, the one who can heal us, along with our brothers and sisters here, and that's Jesus. And so we need to be powerless in submitting to that. So we got to get our minds in the right place from that perspective. Then we go into principle 2, where we earnestly believe that God exists. And so we start looking at, if you're going to walk this recovery walk, you need to have that relationship with your higher power, Jesus Christ. And you need to believe in him and what he did, and we'll kind of talk about that a little bit today as well, or tonight as well. And we looked at the hope lesson and the sanity lesson. So we talk about, as we come out of powerless, then there's a sense that there is somebody in control of this thing, and they've got all the answers. They've got the right way for us to live, and they have great plans for us if we just pay attention. And so there's hope in there. And then the sanity piece, where we kind of start, because at this juncture in our recovery walk, a lot of times we want to revert back to maybe some old ways. Or we start maybe delving into our lives a little bit, and we start seeing that one of the things that got us in this room is continuing to repeat behaviors that were not healthy for us. And we just would do those over and over again and kind of wonder, well, why aren't things changing? And so making sure that we're aware of that, both as it wants to creep back into our lives, because it's always going to want to creep back in. I don't know about you, but I find insanity to be a frequent visitor in my day, and in any number of ways, a lot of times just in my head. And so we looked at those two lessons. And in principle 3, we consciously choose to commit all our life and wills to Christ's care and control. And the life piece is a once and done decision, accepting Christ into your heart. The following and accepting and living about his will for our lives, that's the daily exercise. And that's why I continue to show up here at this meeting every Thursday, is because I continually want to pull that will back to Jack's will instead of following God's will. And so we looked at the turn lesson, which is that idea of turning to God and committing to him and accepting him as Lord and Savior. And in action, where we start doing in this ministry. And a lot of the rest of the next few months are kind of the doing. And we've already started that as we've gotten into Principle 4. And interestingly, the thing about Principle 4, it has more than two lessons. It's got 6 lessons that we spend. That's how important this principle is in our recovery walk. And we looked at sponsorship, and we looked at moral inventory, and we looked at spiritual inventories 1 and spiritual inventory 2. And tonight, it's time for you to confess. Now, you don't have to do that in front of everybody tonight if you don't want to. You can do that in your small group later. You can do that at home. That's where we're at in our lesson tonight, confess. And there's still a few more lessons, one more lesson at least, in Principle 4. And so let me just ground us in our principle tonight, which is Principle 4. Once again, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And the beatitude that goes with that is happier the pure in heart. That comes from Matthew 5:8. And then our step tonight which is step five. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. And 2 weeks from now, Jim's going to teach the admit lesson. And you can see that in step five, we talk about we admitted to God. And so many times we look at confession and admission, or confess and admit, they're very similar, and that is true. And so I'm going to kind of separate them for CR purposes, or for our purposes tonight, and I'm going to say the confess lesson that we're going to go through tonight is a lot of what we do with us and God. And so we talk about confessing to God, to somebody else, and to ourselves. We're going to be, and we've kind of been preparing ourselves to for reality in those first several lessons that we've gone through in this study. And so tonight is more about that confession to God, that relationship, that fellowship with God. The admit lesson, Jim will talk a little bit more about when we actually admit the exact nature of our wrongs to another human being. And oftentimes that will come when you're delivering your inventory after you've created your inventory, when you're delivering your inventory to your sponsor. And so that's kind of how we're going to break those out for the next couple of weeks. The scripture we have that goes with step five is from James 5:16. It says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That is powerful. Confession is extremely healing, though if it's your first night here, or if you've not written your inventory or not given your inventory, that can be one of the most terrifying things to think about doing. And I just want to assure you that there is healing in confession, and I hope to make a case for that this evening as we go through this lesson. And so you've got the handout for those of you, once again, new. A lot of the lessons in Celebrate Recovery will have an acrostic. And so we're taking the word confess, and there's some fill-ins on your sheet of paper there. And so hopefully you've got a pen or pencil. And so I'm going to give you the fill-ins up at the front, and then we're going to kind of dive in just briefly into each of the letters of the acrostic. So here we go. If you've got your pens and pencils handy, the C tonight in confess, it stands for confess. That seems pretty good. Your shortcomings and resentments and sins. The O will be to obey God's direction. Obey. The N, no. No more guilt. F, face the truth. E is for ease the pain. The first S in confess is for stop the blame. And the final S is to start accepting God's forgiveness. Okay? So confess, obey, no more guilt, face, ease, stop, start. So let's unpack these here over the next few minutes. As I mentioned, the C in confess is to confess your shortcomings, resentments, and sins. So you've got it's time to come clean is the idea here, to own up to what we have done. Confession kills secrets and revitalizes reality. And a former pastor here used to always say, reality is your friend. And that is what this ministry is founded on as much as Jesus, because of course Jesus is very much in reality. So that confession kills secret shame, secret sin, secrets. Okay? I'll say it now, I'll probably say it later again. You're only sick as your secrets. And so that confession brings that out and say it rejuvenates us into reality, which can be harsh, which can be stressful, which can be troublesome. I don't know about you. I'm one of these guys that likes to fit the truth around what I think. And so sometimes the truth is uncomfortable for me because it's the truth. Okay? Same thing with reality. Reality sometimes is uncomfortable for me because it's real. It's reality. When I'm engaged in secret sin or secret shame or secret whatever, I get to kind of create my own little world there. So we get that out in the open. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Very straightforward, as Proverbs typically is. And I like the confesses and renounces. So it's not just about running out and dumping your garbage on everybody or on somebody. It's about what are you going to do about it. This ministry is very much about what are you going to do next. It's not about what's in the rearview mirror. Our sins have built a barrier between us and God. And so confession is necessary. In fact, I would say confession is essential to be in fellowship with God. Now, remember I talked about earlier, when we make that once and done decision to turn our lives over to Christ's care and control, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's the relationship. And he's not running away from the relationship when we have unconfessed sin, but the fellowship leaves. Okay? The Apostle John makes this very clear in 1 John 1, 5 through 7, where he writes, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him no darkness, there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, with God and you have fellowship. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." And so what John's making it very clear there is God's light, okay, in him there's no darkness at all. Sin, darkness. So you can't be in sin and in fellowship with the God of light, okay? Now, the relationship may be there. He's not left you, okay? Just like if you've got relationships and you've got fellowships. You may be related to somebody in your family, but you don't have fellowship with them because maybe that's been broken by something you've done. Maybe it's been broken by something they've done. But the relationship is still there. You're still a son, a daughter, father, mother, whatever. And so confession restores the fellowship with God. The O in confess stands for obey, as we said earlier, obey God. And confession means that we agree with or obey God as far as regarding our sins. We are in agreement with God when we confess that sin is bad, sin can't be in our lives, sin is puts us in the darkness, and therefore the fellowship is broken, so we're not walking with God. We want to be walking with God, and so we need to confess, we need to obey. God tells us in James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So we just need to follow that. That's a command, essentially, there. He's not making a suggestion. So obey God, confess your sins to each other. And I love it, just as we're not going to just vomit out everything by confession, we're going to renounce those sins. We're not just going to vomit out the sins. Same thing here. We're not just going to confess our sins to each other. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to engage in taking these sins and this darkness to God on each other's behalf. The N, as I said, is for no more guilt. And Paul in Romans makes this very clear where he writes, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And so if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe Jesus is God, that he came to this earth and lived as 100% man in a perfect life, that he was killed, that he took on all sin onto him in that death and took it to the grave and then overcame sin and death by being resurrected, then there is no condemnation. You are not guilty. No more guilt. Confession is a way to reconnect with that truth of what Jesus did for all of us. And think of it that way. A lot of times we think of, oh, confession, I got to admit all this stuff I don't want or bad. No, confession is just bringing you right back to the most wonderful truth there is, that Jesus died for all of your sin, all of my sin. So connect with that. Use that as an opportunity. I don't say go out and sin so you can confess. That's not my message here. But the idea is, connect with the gravity of that. So no more guilt. You can have conviction. Okay, that's awesome. That's God talking to you. But no more guilt. The F in confess. Face the truth. As I mentioned, our sin has kept us in the dark. Facing the truth brings us into the light. In John 8:12, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." And that's the idea here. Remember, as soon as we move into sin, we're in that darkness area. We want to be having fellowship. We want to be walking with God. And so we want to be in the light. Later on in verse 32, it says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Facing the truth and that feeling of set free is something that is probably one of the biggest gifts that God gave me in my recovery. I had so much baggage in my lies and my deception and my addiction. I didn't know what freedom was, honestly. I didn't realize how burdened I was until I was able to confess, to unburden that, and to really be set free. I think this is a special thing that we get to experience in this ministry, that many people who are in church, down in big church on Sundays, whether you go here or whether you go to another church, but in your Sunday service, there are a lot of people that have not experienced the freedom that you can experience if you work this program. It is, you will know that it's a freedom that comes from only one place, from God, okay? And so I want you to experience that. So face the truth so we can, you know, live in the truth and the light. For many of us, the enemy convinced us that moving into the light would be just too painful. But the enemy lies. We know that. You see, real freedom from pain of our sin comes when we bring that sin into the light, and that takes us to the E in confess, and that is ease the pain. And I mentioned it before, we are only as sick as our secrets. Bring the sin into the light. Now, it seems so counterproductive. I remember convincing myself in my denial stages that if I just kept everything in, I didn't tell anybody that the pain would go away, and the pain just kept ramping up. The only way I relieved or alleviated the pain was to get that out, to confess. And so I've lived that. I've sat with many men as they've given their inventory, as they've confessed to another human being the exact nature of their wrongs, and I have seen the freedom. I've seen pain alleviate, the pain in their face, the pain of memories, the pain of anything. This concept of sin, darkness, and pain in contrast with light and healing and freedom is perhaps best put by King David in Psalm 32, where he writes, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." That's sick. That's pain. Then he writes, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." There's the healing. I love that. That moves us on to the first S in confess, which I said earlier was to stop the blame. One of my favorite scriptures, probably the most favorite scripture that my family quotes back to me, Matthew 7:3. "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye, Dad? Honey?" That's because I'm guilty of that. I'm looking at that speck. I'm always finding the speck. Stop the blame. Whatever that looks like in your life. That's, as I say, one of the most powerful components to this ministry is we acknowledge what has happened in our lives. Some of that stuff we've done. Some of that stuff has been done to us. Some of that stuff is really awful. And I don't want to minimize that. But if we are to heal, if we are to move on, if we are to live like Christ for ourselves and to reflect that to the rest of the world, we need to own what we need to own. That's a healthy thing to do. We look at kind of what is my part. And I've tried to incorporate this into aspects of my life as possible, especially if there's been conflict. What is my part? because I know I'm playing a part in it. Many, I would say probably half of the issues that I have in my life right now that I spend time, probably too much time noodling on, I am 50% at least, usually more, of the problem. My opinion, my view, my I don't like it that way, it's never been done that way, whatever it is, okay? And I need to stop blaming both myself, but I need to stop blaming others. I need to own what I need to own and do the work that I need to do, and then not try to fix others, okay? What I have found is that as I have worked on myself and allowed God to fix me, how I am in this world, people react and respond differently to me. I don't have to go and try to change them. They tend to just kind of do it naturally because I'm not the idiot anymore. I'm not the jerk. I'm not the one pointing out the speck or whatever it is. And this takes us to the final S. Last S in confess is to start accepting God's forgiveness. And this takes us back to one of the scriptures we started with back in 1 John. 1 John 1, verse 9 now. So this is after that whole darkness and light, and if we, you know, that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Get your mind around that. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think that many times one of the things that gets us into this room is we have a gratitude problem. We haven't fully accepted. If we're a believer and we walk through those doors in distress, we're not connecting to the hugeness of God's grace and that he does forgive you, that there is no sin that trumps the cross. Let that sink in as you start beating yourself up, as you start letting shame creep in, denial creep in, you're not good enough to creep in, God didn't forgive my sin, thoughts creep in, whatever the enemy wants to tell you, that's just not true. Start accepting that forgiveness. That forgiveness comes with gratitude, it comes with ownership, it comes with bettering ourselves and corrective action. It doesn't give us a free pass to just go, I'm forgiven, so I get to do what I want, act how I want, say what I want. No, there's huge responsibility that comes with that forgiveness, but it is given freely. And so accept that. Okay, so that takes us through our acrostic tonight and our lesson tonight. Just to kind of summarize, confession is one of the most powerful tools that you can get comfortable with. Or as I often say, it's one of the most uncomfortable ways to get comfort, to get freedom, to be in walking in the light, to kill pride. Oh my goodness, confession is just a pride murderer. So if you're like me and have enough pride to go around, that's for sure. Confession has been a way to get me in line with where I should be in the hierarchy of where I sit, where God sits, all of that. And so this is something that we do in a safe environment. That's why we do it. We tend to do the bulk of this work in a step study. We do it with our sponsor. We do it with accountability partners. We're not running around the street confessing this and that and the other things. There's appropriate times, places, people, okay? Start here in this safe environment. Get some coaching from folks that have walked this walk before, have confessed to another human being before. Get some guidance from them on what's appropriate and what's not. Because this can boomerang on you, okay? That's why we do it in very safe and structured environments here in our step studies. But you'll start to then be able to take that out of that. As you start living your life in the light, confession becomes more and more natural, and in fact, almost desirable, because it reconnects you immediately with your Creator. Let me close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, I know it pleases you when we confess. What we've done is far less important, I believe, our sin, that is, than us bringing it to you, coming clean, knowing that you've already taken care of it. But we come to you in confession with gratitude. each confession reminding us of how important that fellowship with you is, how our life is dramatically different when we're in fellowship with you than when we're in the darkness alone. We know how pleasing it is to you to hear our confession, to take our confession, if you will, and to then redeem those sinful actions and words, thoughts. And you do this all the time in this ministry. You take the confession of that sin, you take that sin, you throw it back in the enemy's face, and you make us images of you. And we go out in the world and we spread your word, not the darkness and the lies. So Lord, I ask that you put a heart of confession, of humility on all of us this evening as we move into our small groups. Is there something that we need to confess to our accountability partner, to our sponsor? Is there something that we need to confess to our small group? And that we bring that out because we're bringing that to you as well. Lord, we love you and we pray these things in your name. Amen.